Welcome into Jets Nation Radio. I am Goose, joined by Ray Howe this week. Before we get to him, make sure you go check out Betway out in Ontario. 19 plus, please play responsibly and go bet on the Jets. I feel like tonight's the night that you will not get a great return on the Jets, but they are taking on the San Jose Sharks, so should be an easy win for you. Ray, how are you doing, buddy?
Doing pretty well. The Jets come back from that losing streak that we saw, and I feel like the Jets are playing a lot more of a combined game. Like, I felt like a lot of lines were looking good, and they were beating better teams. They beat Colorado and Carolina this past week, so it's definitely some encouraging signs, and I feel like the Jets are definitely a top 10 team this year.
Yeah, it definitely feels like, they're not winning silly games. They're not getting lucky to win those games. I mean, the comeback victory against the Anaheim Ducks, yeah, I know they're one of the worst teams in the league, but hey, a win's a win, and there is no easy wins in this league. Beating Colorado and Carolina, great, although it looks like Carolina's kind of on the downward spiral right now. That might have been with that first loss to the Jets. It's a good time to be a Jets fan. I'm very excited to see that game, that next game against the Avalanche that's coming up next week. Yeah, next Saturday. This Saturday, my bad. I'm very excited for that game just because, you know, you're going to see a very healthy Colorado Avalanche, not guys just returning, but guys that have been back for about a week and a half. So that's going to be one of those things is like, who are the Winnipeg Jets truly? Are they actually a top 10 team, or are they the classic Jets that we have watched year in and year out? And I think that game that's coming up against the Colorado Avalanche is going to answer that question for us.
Yeah, I think the more important game actually is against the LA Kings on Wednesday. I feel like the Jets may have had one of their worst games against LA, that game where Dubois had his return to Winnipeg, and the Jets really just didn't have a really great game. Vilardi got injured in that game, and there really wasn't a lot of positive notes in that game. So I feel like against LA, like, they already beat Colorado, so Colorado's going to come out gunning in that game, but I feel like the Jets really need to come out in that LA game with some real positive notes based on how they played against LA in the last game. So I feel like, and with LA, they've been setting records with their away record, and LA is a really deep team, and they have a lot of similarities to the Jets with a really deep forward core, some really good defensemen. And I feel like LA is a team that could be a really realistic playoff competitor this year and someone to look out for.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, besides their loss to the Rangers last night and their former goaltender and Jonathan Quick, yeah, the LA Kings have been on a bit of a heater. They've won three of their last five, but they've been keeping it close for sure. So yeah, that LA game, the next two games for the Winnipeg Jets, really going to kind of, I don't think define their season, but it's definitely going to have a major impact on their season long term. But it could also be another, just, you know, the Jets might be one of these teams that go on a 5-game winning streak and then lose three and then go win five and lose another three. But I almost would take that record of the dizzying highs and the soul crushing lows of this team. But Kyle Connor, we briefly talked about him before we got things rolling here. Mike McIntyre reporting between 6 and 8 weeks for Kyle Connor's return. Rick Bowness didn't give us a definitive answer, but just basically he's coming back to Winnipeg today to go get those MRIs looked at. But, you know, let's just say 3 months is kind of that, 2 months is that timeline. So that takes us to the middle of February or early February. I mean, really, you just got to hold on for January, and that's historically a bad month for the Jets. So do you think the Jets could just kind of meander with a 40% winning percentage and then maybe turn it back on for mid-February?
Yeah, again, like with this Kyle Connor injury, it sucks. Like, Kyle Connor is a I would say the Jets best forward and the most dynamic forward, and then you take him out for an extended period of time, it's not something that's easy to replace. And he's the team leading goals. He was leading the NHL in goals at different parts of the season. And now you got to find a way to win without him. So again, the play, it wasn't really a nice play, and there wasn't any discipline on Ryan Strome, which kind of unfortunate. But I feel like the Jets are a lot better this year at having the depth to deal with this. You saw Ayafalo jump up to the top line, and I feel like the lines can be adjusted more, and I feel like they have a lot more options going forward where you can put Velarde on that top line. The importance of Ehlers becomes invaluable with how dynamic he can be. So I think that the Jets are really going to rely on that next man up mentality that they always press on about. And I feel like Ayafalo is someone to look at on someone who can step up big time in more minutes, as he was just getting his minutes reduced with the return of Gabe Velarde.
They got the projected lines up from the Winnipeg Jets, to, like, literally as we just started recording this, they posted that. So our top line is going to be Ehlers on the left, Scheifele in the middle, and Velarde on the top line. Morgan Barron is going to move up to the second line, be on the right side of Nemestikov and Perfetti. Now, that's kind of where I'm like, I'm a little bit worried, but Barron has been picking up a lot of garbage goals. And I think with the wits of Nemestikov and Perfetti, this might be like, there's some of you that's worried, but there's a lot of me that's like, there's a lot of promise with this line. Like the Jets, we could be talking about one of the best second lines that really shouldn't even work. So I'm torn about it. And then the landline stays the same. And then we've got Ayafalo, Gustafsson, and Axel Johnson-Fialbi.
Yeah. And that second line, like we were talking many times about Barron and like how good of a forward he is, where you kind of don't expect too much from him. You don't expect him to get like 30 goals or like 50 points, but you're kind of surprised sometimes. And I felt like in that that Ducks game where he got that goal in, like he's a really good player, and like you kind of, some people might write him off at times on his offense, but again, he's only 25 years old, maybe 24, I don't exactly remember, but he's someone that, like, if you give him that second line time, like you might see like him rise to the occasion, and you could unlock something in Morgan Barron, or maybe he becomes a middle six forward, like a legit middle six, someone that you can put in your second line if you're in the situation that the Jets are currently in. So it's going to be interesting to see how the lines adapt as well, because I don't guarantee that the lines like this will stay the same for the whole time that Kyle Connor is out. But it's nice to see that the Jets reward Barron for the hard work that he's put in these past couple of games. And it's going to be interesting to see how he's able to adapt to increased role and maybe different play style as well.
Yeah. I mean, just throw whatever you can at the wall, see what works. Because, yeah, I don't see Morgan Barron hanging out on the second line for longer than a month. Like, that would be kind of his maximum time up in the second line. But it's a good place to start. You're in your, you said 24, he's 24 years old right now. And that's when you kind of take that next step, is 24, 25, 26. So he's in the prime to be taking that step to be a middle six forward. And I mean, playing with a guy like Perfetti, that's going to make you immediately better. Playing with Nemeskov, who's just so smart, is going to make Morgan Barron better. And so, yeah, I'm very excited for that line. I'm a little bit nervous, but yeah, it's going to be a good one.
Yeah, Barron is 25 now. His birthday
25.
Was at the start of December. But again, like with Barron, like at the very beginning of the season, like I know this is going a little farther back, but when at the beginning of the season, Nemesnikov and Barron were line mates on that fourth line. So there's not like there isn't any chemistry there as well. So I feel like, and when people get healthy and then it with trades at the trade deadline, like I feel like Nemestikov and Barron are going to be really good complementary players to each other on maybe a fourth line if the team's fully healthy, or depending on where the lineup is. So I think it's really interesting to see them back together and what they're going to be able to produce.
Yeah. And like just, and Cole Perfetti's been lighting it up all season. Like he has been a very pleasant surprise to a lot of Jets fans, myself included. I was like, I don't know if Perfetti's got it in him, but he's got that dog in him this year. So just like everything's bumping the right way. It's going to go right. Logan Stanley also back into the lineup for, Logan Stanley not back in the lineup, but Nate Schmidt getting himself back into the lineup on the right side of Dylan Sandberg. Do you think there's going to be anything substantial coming out of Logan Stanley playing those last three games? Because besides that McKinnon goal, he really didn't flub up a whole lot.
Yeah, I feel like Stanley had a really good kind of audition where he showed what what he was able to bring to the team, and he was doing a lot of good things. There was a lot of things that were questionable at times and not perfect plays, but he played pretty well in those limited minutes. And again, like he didn't look out of place. He didn't look like he wasn't an NHL defenseman. But again, like this just shows the defensive issues that the Jets have with how many defensemen could be in that spot and there aren't. Like you're on a given night, you're sitting Chisholm and Stanley. It's just, and you would ideally want to have everyone getting ice time. But again, when you have Nate Schmidt and how much he makes as well, I feel like it was required for Schmidt to sit because he wasn't exactly playing the best hockey. He only has the one assist in the 20 games. So he definitely needs to bring his game more. And I feel like with Stanley, he's just someone that could be trade bait, but he also could be someone that stays as a 6-7 defenseman. But then you have Capobianco. So again, it's just shows that the Jets really do kind of need to make a trade here, and or maybe package one of these defensemen in a deal for a second line forward or a top right hand defenseman. So it'll be interesting to see how many more games Logan Stanley commands this year.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think I'm at this. I'm very much in that boat where it's like, well, the Jets could keep him around, but I want to see more of Ville Heinola because I know he's a more capable player than Logan Stanley throughout Logan Stanley's 120 games so far. And I'm not even trying to rip on the guy, but at this point, like, I think the Jets could shop him around, be like, listen, if you guys want a pick, a middle round pick. Let's say third or fourth round, and we can get someone to kind of fill that role of a second line centerman, even if it's just a rental towards the end of the season. I haven't even thought about who the Jets could trade for in that position. But going back to Kyle Connor and his injury, I wrote about it at jetsnation.ca, which everyone should go visit jetsnation.ca. there's my shameless plug. But Kuzmenko. From Vancouver would be a very interesting pick. I even a one for one swap with Nate Schmidt and Kuzmenko. I know that the Vancouver Canucks have had their try with Nate Schmidt, but I just swap them. Both guys kind of need that change of scenery at this point. And there's a lot of young guys in Vancouver. They could use that guidance of Nate Schmidt.
Yeah, again, like Kuzmenko is a really good option just because he's not like a he's not a rental. He has 2 years left, I believe.
No,
Which
he had signed a 2-year deal. This is his last year.
this is his last year. I thought that he signed this as an extension because he was on a entry level contract.
Let's Google it up because I might have dropped the ball on my research last night. But still go visit jetsnation.ca, even if I made a mistake. Okay, you were correct. It's a limited or it's a modified no trade clause for this year and next year at $5.5 million. Yeah, my bad. I misunderstood when I was reading yesterday. So yeah, I mean, like it's not a great trade for the Winnipeg Jets, and this year is fine if especially if Kyle Connor's out for that extended period of time. If it's over that 2 months, no big worry. But we get past that 2 months, and then all of a sudden, like, how do we make the cap work? Because the Jets only have 1.5 million dollars, 1.1. They've got about $1 million in change. In leftover money. So I don't know. Figure I just don't know what the answer is here. But Nate Schmidt, if you want to go back to Vancouver, I'm sure they would just welcome you there, buddy.
Yeah, and Kuzmenko would be a really good option too. Like he's someone that his value is lower just because of the relations he's had with the team. And he's a top six right-hand shot forward that he gets a lot of net front goals. Like I think he was like top five in deflection goals last year. He scored almost 40 goals, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah,
And
39.
yeah, 39 goals. And he only has 15 points this year. So if the Canucks, I know that they're doing pretty well this season and they don't really want to switch too much up because of the playoff aspirations they have. But if they're willing to trade him and the Jets, it kind of reminds me of Nino Niederreiter in a way where you pay maybe a little bit more, but you have this year, but you also have that next year also. And then you can choose to keep him afterwards or move on from him at that point. But it's not just for paying for this year. You kind of get the playoffs for this year and then next year as well. So
Yeah. One thing I will note with Kuzmenko is he had a 27.3% shooting percentage last year, which there's no chance that guy's going to bring that back. He's only at 10.5% this year, but he's primarily played on the fourth line with the Vancouver Canucks. So there's a lot of things you got to juggle in for that comparison. But he would be a very interesting pick for the Jets, especially if Kyle Connor is out, as long as, well, we don't know. I just wanted timeline so I could start counting down the days till Kyle Connor's back. I'm so sorry. I am just blanking hard here, Raymond. Is your name actually Raymond?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. I don't want to just start giving you names and then
Yeah,
just have you accept that. That would just be so rude. Oh, Mark Scheifele got himself into a fight on Sunday night. You love to see him be do leadery things. You don't want to see him get hurt. And he was out for that 5 minutes of the five on the 5 minute power play. But Mark Scheifele getting into another fight. How many fights does he get into this year? Over, under 3.5.
I think it has to be over. He's already at two now, and it's only 28 games into the season. And I think he's just playing with a lot more passion. I feel like this is a Mark Scheifele who's determined. He just signed a long-term contract here to basically be a Jet for life, and he's already shown that like he's gonna stick up for himself. He's gonna stick up for his teammates, like you saw with the Matthew Tkachuk. Like it doesn't matter who's going after him. He's not gonna let stuff slide. Like he's gonna go after Tkachuk. He went after Ryan Strome after that hit on Kyle Connor. So I think it just shows that the team, like not just Mark Scheifele, but the team, that anyone is gonna stick up for anyone. It's not just you're not just gonna have Brendan Dillon or Adam Lowry dropping the gloves and everyone else just kind of being like, yeah, go after them. It's you can really rely on anyone to really answer the bell at any point. And I feel like it's a really great team dynamic, and I think it shows the bond that this team has compared to last year.
I'm gonna have to look at the numbers, but who at the end of their career, who has more fights, Ehlers or Scheifele?
I think it has to be Shifley. I feel like Ehlers, again, like I know he's had a couple of fights. I think he had one this year, if I'm not
One
mistaken,
so
or
far this year, yeah.
yeah. And I just feel like Ehlers isn't as like someone that's gonna drop the gloves as much. I feel like Mark Scheifele has that kind of edge to him that Ehlers may not have in a fighting sense. So I'd have to say Scheifele, and I feel like Scheifele's also been in the league longer, where he may have a couple extra fights under his belt compared to Ehlers.
But Nikolaj Ehlers fought Ryan Kessler, which I mean, that makes you 1,000 times cooler than Mark Scheifele. Yeah, a good old Canadian boy and the Danish guy. See who could fight more. This is the one time I'm gonna go against the Canadian inside of me. I think it's gonna be Nikolaj Ehlers with more fights at the end of his career. This was something I talked about yesterday with Noah on the podcast. I asked him, do you put Josh Morrissey into the elite defenseman category, or is he just exceptionally great?
I think he's right on that borderline. Like I feel like you can argue it either way of him being like an elite defenseman, like top of the top, or you could say like he's just a step below. Like there's a lot of really good defensemen, and I think that based off last year, if you asked me this question, I would have said he is just below, but just because of the lack of this type of production and this type of play. Like Josh Morrissey is 28 years old now, and just having that season with Bones just kind of unlocked something in him. But again, like it wasn't enough to say, yeah, this guy's an elite defenseman. You kind of need to see it more consistently. But then that game against the Ducks, where you see him just kind of take over the game, and Mark Scheifele saying that's the best game he's probably seen from Josh Morrissey ever. I feel like he's right on that low end of an elite defenseman. And just when I think of an elite defenseman compared to like one of those top defensemen, I look at the impact that they have on their team, and if you were to remove them, how would the team react? And I feel like if Josh Morrissey was out for any period of time, I feel like the Jets fall. Like they take a nosedive that they can't afford. And with a top defenseman, you kind of have that next man up mentality that they have with Kyle Connor, where they're able to have a defenseman move up, and then they're able to kind of replicate it. And they're okay overall. But when you have an elite defenseman go down, like you have McCarr or McAvoy or Quinn Hughes, when those defensemen goes down, you're not being able to replace that production at all. So I feel like Morrissey is right on that elite level. I wouldn't say he's at the very top of the elite with Cale Makar or Quinn Hughes, because again, there's a lot of levels in the elite as well. So I feel like, again, it's hard to argue against Morrissey as a Jets fan. So we'll say he's on that elite tier.
Yeah, he's an elite Jets defenseman, maybe not quite elite league-wide. Because
I would
like,
say he's making a case.
He's making a case for sure. He just doesn't have that. Like the thing with like a Makar is like he's got his speed. He's got there's identifiable things that you can be like, that's what makes Cale Makar elite. We don't have that thing with Josh Morrissey that makes him elite. The only thing that I can think of that's like, this is where he is way better than anyone else, is when he's walking the blue line and moving the puck. That's the one spot where I'm like, that's the elite in Josh Morrissey. After that, he's just a jack of all trades who's fantastic at everything, but he just hasn't taken that last step to be elite. So yeah, great for the Jets.
I'd also say that the him walking down from the blue line as well, like when he goes from the blue line and he starts creeping down as well with the puck and being able to have that slap shot, or he's so decisive in that way. Like I don't see a lot of NHL defensemen where they're walking down from the blue line where they're able to make so many different plays. Like you see Morrissey shooting for a goal. You see him shooting for a tip. You see him doing a complete no-look pass. Like not a lot of defensemen have the confidence to do that. And I feel like Morrissey is really coming into his own. And I would say like he's easily a top 20 defenseman right now, and he's only on the ups right now.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, I don't know if you remember, but in the Dustin Byfuglien, or like that post Dustin Byfuglien era, where, you know, it was Josh Morrissey by himself, he had no one to help him, and people are like, oh, look at this guy, he's not going to accomplish anything, he's not good, the Jets should be trading him. I just wonder where those people are these days, because man, I could not imagine this team without Josh Morrissey.
Yeah, that's a scary thought for sure.
It sure is. Well, I mean, like you look at what happened to the Jets after Byfuglien, Trouba, and Myers all left. Like, it was just like, well, good luck there, 24-year-old Josh Morrissey. Hopefully you can make it, but good luck there, partner. The Jets next season have two guys that are going to be UFAs in Brennan Dillon and Dylan DeMello. If you could keep one of those guys, which one would you keep?
Oh, that's so tough. Just because of how important both of them are in different ways. I feel like DeMello is a right shot defenseman, which the Jets need obviously more. You look at the depth defenseman the Jets have. They have Stanley, who's left-handed. They got Chisholm left-handed. Billy Hainola's left-handed. Capobianco's left-handed. And you got Sandberg, who's left-handed. There's just too many left-handed defensemen on the team. So DeMello brings a right-hand shot, which is invaluable to the Jets team. And he's able to block. He's able to play defense. He's playing quality minutes with Mark or with Morrissey here. So I'd have to say Brendan Dillon has to go, just based on it's so close between them. But they overall provide similar aspects defensively. They're both really good defensively. I'd say Brendan Dillon's a lot more physical, where DeMello's a lot more kind of positional and kind of using the IQ a little bit more on transition and everything like that. But again, like, it's really going to depend on how Dylan Sandberg can play this year and if he's ready to take that step up into what Brendan Dillon is basically playing right now.
Oh, absolutely. And I think the Jets really could keep both of those guys around next year. The Jets are right now have a projected cap space of $71 million is the math that I did yesterday. And like there's not many guys they need to re-sign. They've got Morgan Bear. Where are we here?
We got Cole Perfetti.
Cole Perfetti. But I mean, how much is Cole Perfetti going to cost you? Even if you overpay him at $5 million, like you still have all this money left over. You're like, there's no way you're paying Brendan Dillon any more money than what he's currently making. Dylan DeMello, he might get the same pay. It might be the exact same contract. He's only 30 years old. I don't know if he's worth much more than what he's earning right now at
he's making $3 million right now.
Yeah, $3 million bucks. So, but even you increase that up to 3.8. I don't know if I could. Yeah. Sorry?
Maybe even $4 million.
Even $4 million for DeMello. Like, that's whatever. That's an extra $1 million. Brendan Dillon, I don't know if you could justifiably pay him $3.9 million. He's going to be 34 at that time. And I love Dilly. But yeah, I just don't know if you can pay a guy, give him any sort of term and give him a big payday. So I think the Jets are going to be fine. And yeah, Perfetti, even at $5 million, big whoop. I would take, what would you pay for Petty today?
I think I'd give him the exact same deal that Mark Scheifele got out of his entry-level contract, where he got an 8-year deal, and it was a 6.125. It was an overall just under 40 million, so or 50 million. So I'd say like an 8, like you want to sign him long term, obviously, because you want him to stay a Jet and you want to get him good value. If you pay him only like a $5 million deal for 4 years, you're going to have a conversation in 4 years where he's asking for $10 million, and then you're just kicking that can down the road. So I feel like the Jets should be proactive in trying to sign him long-term. And if it's like an 8-year deal, $50 million, if you're overpaying in the first couple years for what Perfetti is now, I'm fine with it. Because again, like you see Perfetti playing now, like he's on pace for over 60 points. He had a goal scoring streak. He's really brought his game up to the next level. And if you're overpaying in the first couple of years, so you can have 6 years of Perfetti when he's worth $10 million at $6 million, I feel like the Jets should really learn from what they did with Mark Scheifele and apply that again with Perfetti.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the guy is still on his ECL, which just blows my mind. It feels like he's been in the league a whole lot longer than he has been. So yeah, the kid definitely is going to get a payday that, but I like that idea. Basically a Mark Scheifele deal and just like, hey man, you're going to be overpaid for 2 years, but after that, it's all going to work out. So, yeah, I'm excited for this next offseason. Like, I think the Jets might actually have the money where they could kind of overpay one particular player for a short amount of time to, you know, bring it all together.
Yeah, and then, again, with that defenseman, like, that defenseman question on Dillon or DeMello, again, like, you have so many defensemen that we were mentioned with Stanley, you got Chisholm, you got Billy Hainola. Like, I feel like with Brendan Dillon, even if you want to keep him, you're just blocking some more young defensemen from getting that opportunity. If you're signing Brendan Dillon and Dylan DeMello, I don't see the point of keeping Billy Hainola, just because he's right now ready for the NHL, and you're basically saying, oh, we're going to sign Dillon because he makes us a better team, and then what do you do with Hainola? Like, he's not going to be getting time. He's going to be blocked from getting that ice time. And then if he does get the ice time, then you're going to have another player like Sandberg, Dillon, or even Schmidt just sitting on the bench the whole season. So it's going to be really interesting to see what they do with the defense this year. And I wouldn't be surprised if they should not sign Dillon and then also make a trade on top of that.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with that. They desperately need that right shot defenseman right now, an elite one. They can't just be like, well, we got ourselves Ethan Bear for the third pairing. Because like, I like Ethan Bear. He was one of my favorite Oilers when he played with them. But Ethan Bear is not the answer. He's not going to take the Jets to the next level. I would rather deal with Nate Schmidt and his subpar play than a guy like Ethan Bear. So they need to go find that elite defenseman, and they still need to go find that number two centerman. Thanks, Pierre. So yeah, that's where I'm at with this team. It's not much going on, but the future is bright. So yeah. Ray, we've got a few games coming up this week. We got the Sharks tonight, the LA Kings tomorrow, the Avalanche and the Canadiens probably before we talk. So, seems like two really tough games and two very two winnable games. So where do you see the Jets going for this?
Yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting because these teams are teams that the Jets have played, and it's not like you're playing a new team. You know what they're going to be capable of. LA and Colorado are going to be the games to really watch. And Laurent Brossoit is going to be playing tonight, and based on the performance he had against Carolina, I feel like he's going to bring it again. San Jose is kind of in a spot where they haven't been playing great, but they've been playing better than how they have at the beginning of the year. And then I think we're going to beat the Kings, but we're going to lose to Colorado. And was there another game after that as well? Or
Montreal on Monday night.
Montreal. I feel like the Jets will beat Montreal as well. So
3-1. I'm going to go 2-1-1. I think they're going to lose in overtime or a shootout to the Canadiens. They're going to lose one of these games. I think it might be the LA game that the Jets end up losing, but they should beat the Colorado Avalanche and the Sharks. Well, I've said it before. Anytime I say the Jets have a beatable game or a winnable game, they generally kind of tank it. And they are 1-2 in their last three against the Sharks. So hopefully we're talking about 1-2-1 in their last four against the Sharks. So they're not doing too great. Hopefully they can find some luck, but they're also not playing James Reimer, so maybe the Jets really have a chance. Those are some real flashbacks to when things were falling apart last year for the Jets. Was James Reimer just giving us a rough time? Ray, well, that's everything I've got this week. Where can we find you on the internet?
Yeah, you can find me at ray.howe on Instagram. And again, if you have any questions or you have any ideas for questions or conversation starters, just let us know and we can get some new conversations in here.
Yeah, absolutely. That'd be the big goal. Make sure you check out jetsnation.ca. We're looking at one of the biggest months ever at the website. So, you know, the more big months that we have, the better we're doing. And then we could, the dream would be to pay Ray to get to do this podcast. But again, a man can dream. So yeah, go visit jetsnation.ca, like and subscribe to this podcast, wherever you get your podcast from. Give me a follow, WPG Goose on Instagram. Ray, have yourself a fantastic week and go Jets go.
Go Jets go.